Good afternoon, everyone. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are in Clearwater, Florida, and it's a great place to be. And I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and excited about today's show. It's going to be fun as always, and we are just experiencing some pretty nice weather compared to most of the United States. Nan, are you on the air with me? Well, that there you go.
Get
you on the right mic. There we go. Yes, it is nice, isn't it? It's kind of temperate, you know, 65, 75. Hey, most of the nation would really love to have our weather today, wouldn't they?
Yes. You know, Betty, you know, will be on with us in a few minutes, but she posted this beautiful photo of herself 2 or 3 days ago, and I'll have to show it to you afterwards. In this parka looking thing, you could barely see her eyes, and
yeah,
and she was talking about how cold it was, and I said, I guess I shouldn't complain about the cold weather we're having, and she kind of let me know, no, you shouldn't.
No, because ours compared to hers is really nothing at all. Because she's up there in the frozen tundra of Indiana. So I lived up there a long time. I understand that frozen tundra area. But we've been down here. I've been down here a long time, 20-some years, 23 or 4, and been just really enjoying living here in this wonderful area, but especially being able to do God's work right where we are. Beacon of Hope is in its 14th year, and that is really kind of hard to believe sometimes, Nan, that we have been around here that long. This is our eighth, we're getting ready to finish our eighth year on the air on this show, getting ready to start our ninth year for this show in April, and our two-hour show all about the blessings of the Lord. That's what this is about. We will have some new listeners that will listen to this show in a few days in other parts of the United States, and we welcome you aboard to Living the Good Life, and we hope you enjoy studying the Word of God with us, and we have great contemporary music, and we have a radio team that take turns joining me every Sunday, and there's some mighty strong people, and you're one of them, Nan. You really are. You're just a blessing. You've been on the radio team for a few years now, haven't you?
Yes, definitely.
And, you know, God loves that faithfulness, you know, where we just hang in there and continue our commitments to Him and do what we have promised to do, you know?
Right.
It's very important, isn't it?
He blesses us. I mean, you know, we all bind together. We come on, and there is no script. We kind of know the scripture. Nothing is prepared. Nothing is planned. You know, as far as go by line by line.
No, we don't have a script.
He moves. You know, but in the midst of that, we have a good time with it, too.
Oh, don't we?
This is a highlight to get to come on the show on Sundays, you know, when I'm scheduled to come on and come on and be on the show. It's really exciting.
Yes, and I mean, it really is. And it's just fun to be able to share the Word of God and just to know that we have an opportunity to share with an audience. And that audience is getting bigger as of this week. So that is a really cool thing. So we're glad each of you have joined us. And we always welcome you to email me personally at any time. During the show, sometimes we can catch those, but sometimes we can't during the show. And if not, I'll pick them up later. And my email address is pastor@bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, and it is global. So pastor@bohmglobal.com is how you reach me. And so that is great. You can ask questions. You can comment on something that's been taught or said. And we've started a new series a couple weeks ago, and it's entitled Goodness, Grace, and Glory. And it is all about the nature of God and what He wants for each of us and how much He loves us and cares about the details of our lives. Nan, I love to be able to communicate that truth to our audience, that God loves us, each one, so very much and has a plan for you, for me, for everyone in our audience.
Well, and that's what's so exciting about it. We have the opportunity to convey that to people. And some people who are listening are feeling down on themselves, are feeling beat down. They've been beat down maybe verbally by someone, and they just don't feel, what can God do with me? Well, God can do everything with you.
Yes.
He has a plan. He has a plan for all of us, as you have said. And even if you're feeling downhearted, look up. you know, this show, that's part of what the show is about, is helping people to look up and see Amen. God and see, and this specific series is about the plans that God does have for our lives.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
He is there with a plan.
Right. And so be encouraged today. There's going to be some mighty things happen in the next couple hours as we share the word of God with you. We are studying right now the life of Moses, and we are in Exodus. If you want to find your Bible, if you're driving down the road, that may not be possible, but you can refer to it later and know that that's where we were. Exodus is the second book of the Bible. So we're going to share the word with you, and we have some great contemporary Christian music. One of the things I love about this show, Nan, is our ability as a radio team to make the concepts personal and to bring them down to earth for our listening audience. And we all have struggles. We don't claim to be perfect in any way, by no means that. We're human beings going through some of the same struggles as all of our listeners, you know? And that's one thing I love about our radio team. We tend to really bring those concepts down to a place we can all understand them, you know?
I think the openness that we all have, it helps to convey more deeply to the listening audience. We're there with you.
Right.
You know, we have had struggles, or we are having struggles, or whatever. We're there, but God has a plan.
Absolutely.
In the midst of the struggles. But we're not some utopia where nothing ever faces us. No, we could go down a list, and we all know each other. And we know
sure.
struggles that each of us has right,
right
now, maybe.
Sure.
But, you know, it's not that we're not affected by that. It is there, but we're not affected in the sense that we turn it over to God, and God takes care of those struggles as we're letting Him fulfill His plan in our lives, as we're being willing to allow that to happen.
Absolutely. And it's a new year. This is the second Sunday of the new year of 2015. And I wanted to start off the show today with our theme song that we use on our other radio show. And our other radio show airs here in the Tampa Bay Network on Thursday nights at 6, from 6 to 7. It's called Go Yard with Mama Mac. And that's me also. That's my other name. And Go Yard means hit a home run in life. And it's more of a life coaching show and a counseling show. And with me on that show is my co-host, Dr. Angel Falzoni, who's a PhD and a licensed mental health counselor. So look for that show. Starts actually around 6:06 on Thursday evenings here on the Tan Talk Network. And this is the theme song from that show. And it's by a group called Mercy Me. This song is A New Lease on Life.
Take two. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
How about that? New lease on life. We love that song. And that is the theme song, actually, for our Thursday night Go Yard show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday nights on this radio station. And so, welcome to Living the Good Life. And Nan, I saw you writing frantically during that song. I'm in the engineer's seat in here in the control room, and you're in there in the studio. What are you writing there, Nan?
Well, pretty cool poem that the Lord just gave me during that song.
Okay.
It says, help me to have a new lease on life. I truly do desire to have such. Father, I know that I can have that by your awesome, mighty touch. I know that you are the almighty maker whose hands made me for a special reason. I will learn from you what I am to do as I enter into this brand new season. Help me to reach out to others who have gone through what I have gone through. Help them realize that they can have a new lease on life as it's all available through you.
That is great. And listening audience, if you're new to Living the Good Life, you don't know that Nan is our resident poet. And God gives her poems, and sometimes during songs, sometimes not. But that was beautiful, Nan, and it really, really does say what we want to say today on this show. Reach out and take what God has for you today, dear listener. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3, and we have been talking about Moses. And Moses is a guy that we're all familiar with because most of us have seen the Ten Commandments. And or other movies like the new one that just came out and others about his life. Interesting guy. I mentioned last week, and I'll just kind of remind you, Moses' life had three sections in it, basically three seasons. The first season, he was in the palace in Egypt as the grandson of Pharaoh. And you can go back to Exodus chapter 1 and 2 and catch that whole story of what happened. And basically, the Egyptians realized that the Israelites were growing astronomically, and they decided they were going to have to do something to stop this amazing growth. Because 400 years before where we are right now in Exodus 3, Jacob and his sons and their families had come to Egypt because there was famine where they were living in Canaan. And when they came to Egypt, they were about 70 members strong. That's about how many there were. 400 years later, they are somewhere between 2 and 3 million people. God had blessed them. He had prospered them. They had been having babies like crazy. And so the Pharaoh got so afraid of this astronomical growth, Nan, that he decided that he was going to have to put an edict out in the land to have all the baby boys of the Hebrews, of the Israelites, that were born to be killed, to be drowned. First of all, he wanted them killed at birth. That didn't work. You can read that in Exodus 1. Secondly, when that plan was foiled, he said, all right, from now on, let's just take all those baby boys and drown them in the Nile River. And so the mother of Moses, her name was Jochebed, when Moses was born, she saw that he was a very special child, that he had the presence of God on him already, and something very different about this child. So Moses' mother made a little bed, and a lot of people have heard this story for years, kind of like a little boat, and covered it over with tar and pitch so the water could not get in, put her three-month-old little baby boy in that little boat, put it on the Nile River, and immediately Moses' sister, older sister Miriam, observed that Pharaoh's own daughter, the princess of the land of the Egyptians, and her entourage came to the Nile River to bathe, and they saw this and this little cradle thing, this little boat. They picked it up, and the princess of Egypt adopted that baby as her own. So for the first 40 years of Moses' life, he was considered a prince in Egypt, and he lived a very regal life. That first season, the first 40 years of his life, was pretty cool. I mean, really amazing. And then he does something very odd for him, I suppose. We really don't know. In Exodus chapter 2, as time passed, Moses realized he really was not an Egyptian by birth. He was a Hebrew. And so he goes out, and in a story in Exodus 2, we find that he actually murders an Egyptian, when there's a Hebrew and an Egyptian when in conflict, he struck the Egyptian down, buried him in the sand, but word got out by the very next day this had happened, so Moses had to run for his life. Hmm. So the second 40 years, the second season in the life of Moses began that day. He goes out to the desert to a very, very far place away. Eventually, he meets his wife, and that story is in Exodus 2, so you can catch that there. And he marries her, and they have a couple sons. And the second 40 years of Moses' life is spent as a shepherd. Don't you find that interesting, Nan? I do.
As a shepherd, you learn a lot about leading.
Yes,
as
don't
David,
you?
In Psalm, David was a shepherd boy. You know, we sing about him.
Absolutely.
But he then rose up to be a mighty leader.
Absolutely.
So it's interesting that the Lord allowed Moses, allowed him to be in that situation for a lot of other reasons too, but you learn a lot when you're a shepherd.
Oh, I'm sure. Yes. In fact, who did the angels appear to as they were taking care of their flock at night, on the night that Jesus was born? Who did the angel appear to?
The shepherds.
The shepherds, right? That's in Luke chapter 2. And shepherds were considered really the lowly of the low, the lowest of the low. And so for Moses to go from being the prince in Egypt to a lowly shepherd, wow. You know, I think some of us can relate in our lives. Maybe things we felt like everything was going perfect for us. Everything was great. We were on top of the world. We couldn't be happier. And success, success, success. And then something happens, catastrophic perhaps, mm-hmm. or just life happens. And you find that you feel like the low of the low. You know what I'm saying, Nan?
Yes, I think it's so interesting, the point to go ahead and make now too, also, that he was considered the low of the low,
right?
But that God used him in mighty ways afterwards.
Yes.
After he went through that season in his life.
Yes.
And there's people who may be facing that low of low right now in their lives, but it's only for a season.
That's right.
God has a plan.
Amen.
And he will move forward in people's lives in the plan that he has as they continue to look to him for guidance.
Amen. And that's one reason I wanted to play that song, A New Lease on Life, you know, because God does mm-hmm. have a new day for you, dear listener. No matter what it is you're going through, God's got a plan for you. He's got something amazing. Jeremiah 29:11 mm-hmm. to 15. We love those verses. And it says, God says, I know the plan I have for you, the plan to bless you, the plan to give you a future mm-hmm. and a hope. And dear one, take that encouraging word right now for your own life. Thank you, Nan, for bringing that right there to our listeners, because some of them may be in the season of the shepherd here where they feel like right. they are the lowest of the low. Maybe things are not working out. Maybe they're losing a home. Maybe they're financially bankrupt, whatever the case may be. Maybe they've just gone through a divorce or lost a loved one. And you can feel pretty low in those times, can't you?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, sometimes you have to look up to see bottom, you know. we've heard
right.
that through the years, you know.
Right. Absolutely. And so here we are with Moses, and he is a shepherd, and he's taking care of not his own flock. It says the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. I'm in Exodus 3:1 if you want to follow along. And his father-in-law was a priest in this area of Midian. He led the flock to the west end. Actually, the west end in commentaries is referred to a very fertile part of the wilderness. And he came to the mountain of God called Horeb. Now, at the point where he comes to this mountain, I don't believe he's aware this is the mountain of God. He's out there in the wilderness. He's just led his sheep to what he considers a more fertile area. And something amazing happens. Now, remember, Moses has gone, he's about 80 years old now. He's gone through the first 40 years of his life as prince in Egypt. The second 40 years of his life, he's a shepherd. He's a common man. He's a worker. And now he is about 80, and God appears to him. And he appears to him in the form of a burning bush. And a lot of us have seen that played out in a movie. But it is very interesting that God Almighty appears as fire in the midst of this bush. And the next sentence, and I'm using the Message Bible translation. It's a modern-day translation, easy to understand. Nan usually has her King James. Is that what you have today?
I have King James and Message.
And the Message, okay. The angel of God appears here in the middle of the bush, and Moses looks at it. Now, I think most people would, but maybe some people would ignore it. I don't know. But Moses looks at it, and the bush was blazing away, but it didn't burn up. And the boy, is that not a metaphor for God's presence in our lives? He is blazing away and trying his best to get our attention. And he's not going to give up, or he's not going to walk away from you, dear one. You can say all kinds of nasty things to God when you're mad at him, but God's not going to leave you. Nan, you want to comment on that? Because I think this is so cool. This the blazing, the burning of this bush does not stop just because Moses is standing there going, what's going on here, is what it says in verse 3 of Exodus 3. Moses says, what's going on here? I can't believe this. This is amazing. Why doesn't the bush burn up? Moses is standing there in awe, which, of course, we need to be standing in awe of God. Go ahead.
He's in awe. He looked. What struck me about is the in the message, it's the sentence. He looked.
He looked.
He looked. We need to look.
Yes.
We need to see the signs that God gives before us.
Woo.
He, you know, to look at that and to say, wow, why is this? I mean, naturally, normally, you go, you put something on fire, it's going to burn up. It's going to be consumed within
right.
the fire. And it wasn't being consumed. And so it definitely got his attention. I think there's times in our lives that God will bring something before us that will get our attention.
Absolutely.
And we need to look and see that God is in that.
Absolutely. And I find it very interesting that Moses says, that's amazing. Look at this. The bush is not burning. It's not burning up. And, you know, I think it's very important that we notice God's hand in our lives. Mm-hmm. We give him the praise, the worship that he so deserves, and that we realize God is amazing, Nan. He is so amazing at what he's doing in our lives, and he wants us to notice what he's doing, don't you think?
Oh, most definitely. And, you know, most definitely.
He really does. He wants to get our attention. Sometimes he gets it in odd ways, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
I mean, this is an odd way that he got Moses'
yes.
attention and burning up a bush that's not burning up, just burning, sitting there burning.
One of the movies, and I don't remember which one it was, I saw scenes for it the other day.
I don't know.
It was like a big, you know, I had always, I don't know, you may know by, doc, you know,
it doesn't always say.
But it doesn't say. I always envision it like a little small bush.
Yeah.
Well, Hollywood put it as a really big bush.
Well, yeah, did they?
So,
okay.
I don't know what size it was, but it was pretty amazing to come upon that, you know.
That's cool. So Moses stops, looks. God got his attention. Moses says, man, that's amazing. Can't you hear him saying that?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing is one of the words that is very popular in these days, don't you think? A lot of times we coin these new words, epic, you know, used to be golden. You don't hear golden much anymore. But neat,
right.
that was years ago. Cool. I still use cool.
I still use cool.
I do too. I don't know. Maybe that dates me. But amazing. And Moses goes, amazing. Why doesn't this bush burn up? And the next verse, verse 4 of Exodus 3, God saw that he had stopped to look. And God called to him from out of the bush. Now, it's bad enough or weird enough, let's say weird enough, that you got a big old bush or tree or something like this on fire and it's not burning up. Now, the bush is talking. Is that wild or what? Now we can really say epic,
uh-huh.
You know, whoa. Now the bush is talking. And God called to him from the bush now. And he goes, Moses, Moses, wow. Wow. And he says, yes, I'm right here. Now, even crazier, Moses is answering the burning bush.
Right.
The bush is talking and calling him by name. Can you find Isaiah 43, 1 through 5, Nan, in the King James Version? Because I love it there. Because, dear one, you may not be aware that God knows your name. a lot of us have been so beaten down in life, we don't think anybody really cares, especially not Almighty God, the creator of the universe. And a lot of times we feel that God certainly doesn't know where we are or what we're doing or all the details of our lives. But I love Isaiah 43, 1 to 5, and because it says just the opposite of that. So, Nan, what does it say?
Isaiah 43,
yeah.
1 to 5, correct?
Yeah.
But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have renamed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I have Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Saba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west.
Wow, wow. What is God saying there? He says, hey, dear one, I know your name. I know where you came from. I know everything that concerns you. And I have a plan. And I love the fact that God in the burning bush didn't say, hey, what's your name? Hey, what's your name? You know, or act like, you know, no, he knew exactly who would be right there in that instant, that moment that Moses would be there tending his flock. And so basically God puts on a show for Moses to get his attention. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that, Nan. Woo, I love that.
I think there are times that God puts on a show in our lives to get
yeah,
our attention. Sometimes, we see it and sometimes we don't. You know, I would like to encourage people who are listening. There may be people who are new to the show,
right,
or haven't been listening for a very long time. You know, God speaks to us in different ways to get our attention. He's never spoken to me through a burning bush.
Right, absolutely not.
But he uses other ways.
Through
people, through songs, through sermons.
Right.
Through just the way that he'll lead us. I just wanted to say that you know, there's
there's a lot of ways. Absolutely. But the point, that is such a good point. The second point is he knows who you are, okay? Mm-hmm. And so often, he really does try to get our attention. And maybe you have heard a radio show or you've heard a sermon someplace on TV or you've gone to church or something, and maybe one phrase, one section of that talk just comes out and hits you, you know, right between the eyes. And that's God trying to get your mm-hmm. attention. Maybe there's no bush on fire,
right?
But he's still trying to get your attention, right?
Yes.
So he calls Moses by name. He says, Moses, Moses. And Moses says, yes, I'm right here. God said, don't come any closer. Remove your sandals from your feet. You're standing on holy ground. Wow. We've got some songs we sing about mm-hmm. holy ground. The Oriental custom, the custom for these people at this time, was out of respect, they would take off shoes because it was a sign of laying aside pollution, okay? Bad stuff in their life or whatever. And it's still a custom. You know, people take off shoes at doors. I see that a lot. And I'm a realtor also, besides a pastor. And I'll tell you, there are times that I am showing homes to somebody, a house, and there's a sign on the door, please remove your shoes, you know, for... And some people, that's what they like to do. But God said, take off your shoes. And it was a reminder to Moses, put off all that would defile you, all that would bring it down, you know, all your doubts, all your fears. Just get your shoes off and stand here because this is a holy place. Mm. This is holy ground. Talk to me about that, Nan.
I feel that part of that can also be symbolic of laying down things within our lives.
Yes, I agree.
You know, I'm a holy temple. We're all holy temples.
Absolutely.
You know? And there's sometimes that maybe the sandals, he had to remove his sandals because he was standing on holy ground. There's times we need to remove things out of our life because we're holy unto God, and to be able to commune and to have that relationship,
amen,
as best as it can be, which God wants it out there fantastic. We sometimes have to lay down, if you will, our sandals, whatever that
exactly.
is in our lives, lay down whatever it is that he's asking us to lay down. It's not necessarily that some big sin item, but sometimes it's just simply obedience.
Right. And sometimes it's just all the things in our lives that get in the way of any time with God. You know, we've got to really cherish time with God, you know, and not just take it for granted. And a lot of people think the only time you spend with God is when you walk into a service or a church mm-hmm. service and you're in there. But a lot of people, their minds are just wandering off and right. whatever. Your time with God can be any single moment of your day. Mm-hmm. It can be as much or as little as you choose to give God.
Well, you know, I was off 2 weeks that I worked for the school system, was off for a 2 week period. And I started on there a couple of days of just literally listing, and I shared that with you, I think.
Yeah.
I was listing what I was doing with my, I listed a propose. Here's how I'm going to spend my day.
Right.
And then I would list out as I got off track or didn't something come up or whatever, things changed. I was trying to do that to see how much time I was spending either with directly spending time with the Lord or doing something with regards to his work for the Lord.
Right.
You know, my work for the Lord, doing whatever, you know, whether it's being praying for someone, writing someone an email, whatever. I mean, I kept pretty, you know, close tabs on that for a couple of days. Very enlightening.
Was it?
Very
yeah.
enlightening, yes.
Because a lot of us have great intentions. We start the
right.
day and we go, God, I just want to walk through this day with you. I just want to talk to you and I want to hear your voice. And then life gets in the way, mm-hmm. as we often say.
Yes.
Work, demands from work, family, kids, whatever the case may be. And we find, oh my gosh, it's evening and we haven't even
right.
talked to God, you know? And he wants us to lay aside those things that would keep us from acknowledging his presence in our lives.
Right.
And be more careful to be in tune to his voice, you know?
I spend, well, you know, 40, I live in Clearwater and work in Tampa, so I spend a 45-minute commute
mm-hmm.
at least
right.
One way. So I spend at least an hour and a half a day in the car.
Right.
And I really do love to listen to music, different kinds of music, but I've been trying to spend that time with God,
wow.
know, maybe listening to a particular song that I feel led to listen to, you know, pull it up on my phone through YouTube, whatever, but just spend that time with him because that's kind of downtime. And
right.
And that people might be saying, well, I want to spend more time with God, but I don't know how. I am a mother. I understand that because I have a child.
Right.
You know, I am a spouse. You know, I'm whatever.
Right.
I have a job. But sometimes you can steal away. You can find a way. You can steal away moments, even if it's in that commute to work back after you drop the kids off before you get to work. That
right.
time can be spent.
And
exactly. You, can, you know, that's, you know, time can be spent.
Absolutely. And it's got to be a priority. We've got to
right.
protect that time. We've been talking the last couple of weeks on living a good life and also on our Friday night gathering that we have every Friday night in Clearwater about protecting that presence of God in our lives. Just like football, because, you know, I'm a big old football addict and love to watch the games. And it just is so amazing, whether it's college or pro, that they are constantly talking about protecting the football. That's when there are turnovers. People, you know, their ball gets, you know, caught by another team instead of their teammate, etc., because they weren't protecting it, or they fumble it. They're not paying attention to how they're holding it as they run. And they're constantly in football talking about protect the football, protect the football. And this in this series we're talking about right now, it's very important that we protect the presence of God in our lives, that we value his time in us, that we value time spent with him, talking to him, singing his praises, that we protect the presence of God in our lives.
Well, what you did, you had gotten some, had someone get some little footballs.
I think that person was you.
Oh, well, yeah, I wasn't going to say that. Anyway, the little footballs symbolic
yeah.
of what you
little were. Little Nerf footballs.
Little Nerf
again.
Football. And I got great pictures of you protecting your ball. I still need to send out the email to the people at the church. But, you know, I would encourage people to even go buy a little Nerf football. Right. I went to the Dollar Tree, got a dollar football, and have it sitting there by your Bible, by your bedside. I mean, that's an unusual thing. But as a visual to remind what you're sharing with us right now, Pastor.
Yes. And that concept is really what God was teaching Moses right here. You know, he was saying, hey, it's very important, Moses, that you realize that the presence, God's presence, is something to be cherished. It is something to be actually treasured. Betty, are you on the line with us?
Yes, Pastor and Nan. How you doing?
We're good.
Hey, how you doing, Betty?
Up there.
Fine. I'm glad to be on here with two of my favorite people in the whole world, Nan and Pastor Marcia.
Uh-huh. I was thinking, I've been bumping into Betty on Facebook here for the last little while. We've been having fun with that.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I tell you what, it's good to be on there with people that are spirit-filled and God-loving people.
There you go.
Just love it. Just love it.
And you've been out taking care of all your horses there on the ranch in Indiana, have you not? And the dogs and the cats, getting everybody ready for a big storm coming your way, you said.
Yeah, I've been rebuking it.
Okay. All right.
We don't need it.
Right. Right.
And so it's been, I've been working, but I tell you what, I am ready to talk about the Word of God and
praise
how
God.
The Lord loves us and how He's going to move us into a new generation, a new time, a new
Amen.
Day.
Amen.
You can't tell I'm fired up, can you?
Yes. Amen. Amen. I don't know if you were able to hear the first few minutes of the show or if you just came in from being out there with doing your chores.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. But we were just talking about how God was teaching Moses the importance of his presence right there with that burning bush and told him, take off your sandals, buddy. You know, stand here. This is holy ground. And he wanted to commune, to talk to Moses. And he wanted Moses to catch how exciting it was that he had a private audience with Almighty God, Betty, which, of course, we get all the time, don't we?
Oh, yes, yes. You know, he is so... he's so ever-present in everything that we do.
Amen.
And that's the importance of, you know, staying in the Word and just staying fired up, just getting it deep down in you, inside of you, so that you can defeat and become victorious.
Right. Amen. And this whole event that we're talking about in Exodus 3, where God shows up in a burning bush, and he calls Moses by name, which we talked about a minute ago, and he tells Moses, hey, this is precious. Take your shoes off. This is the first step toward Moses' third phase of his life. He's about 80 years old when this happens. He's starting into the final 40 years of his life, but he doesn't know it. Okay? And this phase is marked by God showing up in his life in such a dramatic and amazing way. Now, Moses had killed a guy back in Egypt. I would imagine that Moses still had a lot of remorse and regret, that he had a lot of things he was dealing with. We know on down in this story, Moses didn't feel adequate to be the spokesman for God. So we don't know what emotional struggles he was dealing with at this point when God appears to him in the bush, the burning bush. But we know that God had to do something rather tension-getting, don't you think, Betty? In order to get Moses to realize, hey, this is a new day.
Yes, and I think if you, even if today we are so caught up, just probably like he was caught up in the things that were going on with the Israelites. He was so taken by what happened at that bush, and maybe he, just like we are today, we're so busy, we're so entwined into everything else that sometimes God has to do something just a little bit different to get our attention.
There you go.
Like he did with Moses.
There you go. But he does get our attention if we'll pay attention, you know?
Yes, and you know, we got to have our ears on.
We do.
And we've got to be able to look into God's word. I mean, he talks to us in different ways, but you know what, Pastor Nan, we have got to get into the Word.
Absolutely.
We have got to get into the Word, not once a week, not just on Sundays, but I'm talking about every day of our life.
Amen.
No matter how we can get it inside of us. And I think Moses, if we studied this years ago with children's ministry, that Moses sought God.
Yes, he did.
He sought him out, and just like maybe some of us, we don't feel like we're worthy enough. Moses sometimes didn't feel worthy enough, like he was going to be able to do what God wanted him to do. But God gives us that inner strength.
Amen.
And that's where we have to trust him, and we've got to rise up, and
yes.
we've got to come out of the mire.
Right.
We've got to come up and say, Lord, here I am. And I know back when we were teaching children, Moses was mighty. He was
yes.
a mighty man. He's one of the most mightiest men of God in the,
right.
in the Old Testament.
He sure is.
And kids loved him because
right.
he was so, they called him spontaneous because of the spontaneous combustion, they said, that happened in the bush. And it's like, no, that was God. Those things are going to happen
right.
to us.
Right.
The closer that we draw, closer to
God. We got to protect his presence in our lives.
Do.
Some of you out there today may be saying, you know what, I've done all kinds of things. Maybe I haven't been a murderer, but I've gotten off track in my life, and I'm just not in a place where I can really feel close to God. I believe this next song that we're going to do will help you so much. Nan and Betty, you know it very well. It's by the contemporary artist Matthew West. The healing has begun.
To live is Christ. I have a passion in my heart.
Wrong song. Let's go to this one. Okay. There we go.
There
this
we
is
are.
The one we want.
You have carried the weight of your secret for way too long, thinking if there is a place called forgiveness, you don't belong. Oh, but freedom can never be found behind those walls. So just let them fall. Just let them fall. The healing has begun. Whoa, the healing has begun. How long has it been since you felt anything but shame? Child, lift up your eyes, 'cause mercy remembers your name. Those tears you've been holding back, let them fall like rain. 'Cause today's the day. Yeah, today's the day. The healing has begun.
Praise God. Woo, the healing has begun. Lift up your eyes, for mercy remembers your name. And that is for you, dear listener out there. Nan, you got a poem God just gave you. It looked to me like you were writing feverishly through the glass. I'm in here, but I can see you writing.
Yes. Child, the healing is beginning now. Trust me, I will help you through. You will feel so much better. I will lead you in what to do. You feel that you can't work for me, but please know that you can. I'm here healing you from life. I'm working with my mighty hands. Accept this healing that I offer. You can move forward in me from your insecurities and guilt. You can be totally set free. The healing has begun.
Oh, that is powerful. Powerful. Put a star on that. We may come back to that later on in the show. But if not, and if you want a copy of it, my email address is easy. Pastor@BOHMGlobal.com. I kind of stuttered over that. Pastor@BOHMGlobal.com. And request that. Nan, go ahead.
Yeah, I would just like to share. We talk about being open on the show. But I just want to share that, you know, that really ministers to me. That one really, really got to me, because I can look at my life, and it's not that I've been such a terrible, bad person in life, because I haven't. But, you know, there was a time that I walked away from God. I'm really sensing in my spirit there's someone that's needing, at least one person that has walked away from God and feels, for whatever reason, that happened, and they feel they can't be used to God again. And I want to encourage them that, yes, they can. You know, I mean, I can look back up the many, several years that I got hurt in a church situation. It was really bad. What I heard was wrong. And I walked away. But when I walked away, I not only walked away from the church, but I walked away from God.
Wow.
And that was not the good thing to do. And I kind of floundered out there for a few years, you know.
Right.
Kind of like Moses.
Yes,
Moses
out there in the wilderness.
In the wilderness, you know, kind of like him, just kind of doing whatever. And then he came to an aha moment when God came to him before the bush. Well, that's what happened in my life, that all of a sudden I came to an aha moment, and it was like, wow. And God just moved and intervened and just brought me to Beacon. Woo! Is really, really when I really got back right serving the Lord, was when I came to Beacon. That was all in God's plan. But I just want to encourage people, if they're somewhere floundering out there, they've been leaders in the church, whatever they have been doing, they're not doing now what they need to do for God. God is still going to heal them.
Yes.
He's still going to use them.
Amen.
He can maybe he used them even mightier now than he could have before, because of what they have gone through. Because
exactly.
Now they can minister to people who've gone through what they have gone through. I just encourage them that the healing can begin today. And whether it's someone live or someone who hears this at a later time, at this moment, if they're hearing it, the healing can begin.
Amen. Praise God. I agree with that. Betty, talk to us.
Well, I think that we all, at some point in our lives, go through a desert. We go through a dry spell.
Yeah, we do.
We go through a desert. And you know what is so, while you're going through that, you think, I am never going to make it through.
Yes.
How am I ever going to get through this? Well, one of the things that, when you played that song, one of the things, the memories that came back to me, I didn't have a chance to get my diary, but I was down at a pastor's house in Palm Harbor, Florida.
Would that be mine?
Oh.
I was trying to be a little bit more discreet there, Pastor.
All right. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
That's all right. And a very dear friend was sitting in one of your recliners. Mm-hmm. My daughter was there. You were there. Nan
right,
was there.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that dear friend looked at me and she said, you know what? And she, you know, she's as bold as the smile on my face is right now. She said, nothing is going to happen until you forgive.
Right. I remember that moment.
And that song, and she told me, she said, listen to this song about Matthew West, The Healing Has Begun. And she said, as soon as you start forgiving and you hear that song, she said, the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you.
Ooh.
And he is going to bring you up out of where you've been.
Yes.
When I forgave, when I asked the Lord, and it's just simple. It doesn't have to be anything elaborate.
No,
But when I ask him, Lord, help me forgive so-and-so.
Yes.
And immediately the tears just started to flow. And now I can show people I have a testimony. I can show him my beautiful scars.
Yes.
Because if you think you don't need forgiveness or you don't ask for forgiveness, I've got another thing to tell you. You do.
Yes.
Because it will begin a new day for you.
Right.
If you stand up and say, God, please forgive me. Maybe someone who's wronged you, someone who has hurt you, call them and say, I need to talk to you. I really have had you on my mind. And I think there's some things that we need to bury, because this is the thing I talked to this about this morning is, we can't dwell on the past.
Amen.
We have to go forward. And I think a lot of times, you know, the old adage, we can't go back to Egypt, is metaphorically speaking, we can't go back to Egypt. We can't change the past.
That's right.
Because the past is the past, correct?
Absolutely.
And we have to be strong. We have to be courageous, just like Moses was. And he had a lot of people following him.
Yes. Yeah.
And he had to have confidence. He had to have that faith and the trust in the Lord. And I'm sure at times it wavered, just like it does with us. But again, he trusted God enough to take him through different episodes in the Bible, which, you know, we'll talk about, you know, week after week. But the burning bush is probably the most memorable, besides the Red Sea, is because that was God talking.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, just at the presence of God. And that's what we need in our life, Pastor, is that burning bush moment.
Yes, we do.
Where you want to take off your sandals.
Amen.
You want to just fall down on your knees, mm-hmm. and ask God, God,
yes,
what can I do for you? And I'm sure that's what Moses did. Okay, what do you want me to do? Okay, I want you to lead all these millions of people out of Egypt. It's like, what?
Exactly.
It's tough. It's tough. It's really hard to do, Marcia. But Pastor Marcia, we can do that. You know that, don't you?
Absolutely.
We can do it.
Well, I think it's very interesting what you just said here. And when we look at verse 6 of Exodus 3, then God identifies himself. He says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That's Abraham, the one who's known for his faith, his son, Isaac, and then his son, Jacob. And at this point, Moses hides his face and he's afraid to look at God. And I think at that very moment, maybe all of his past just kind of flashes before his eyes, Betty and Nan, you know, and he doesn't even want to look, you know, because he knows right there in that instant that he needs so much healing, you know. And then God goes on and talks to him and he says, I've taken a good long look at the affliction of my people. I've heard their cries for deliverance from their slave masters. I know all about their pain. And, you know, this is an excellent point before we go into the next hour here. God does hear our cries. He does know our pain. Nan, don't you think there's a lot of people who think God doesn't hear, that they're too insignificant in the big scheme of God's plans to be heard or to even be recognized? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think people sell themselves short, thinking,
yes,
that they're not important. We're
right.
All important.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, what we've always heard through the years, if it would just been for me, Christ would have died.
Right.
You know, but he died for everybody.
Yes.
You know, but
yeah,
it, you know, some people may say, well, I have more smaller things that, how do you say it? More smaller, what are maybe viewed as lesser responsibilities.
Less important.
Yes. Yeah, less important. You know, someone's that greater, bigger thing. But it's all important to God.
Absolutely.
It's all important to God. It's
right.
All important to him.
And we've just got to realize that we are his equal children, you know? God loves you just as much as he loves me.
Right.
Just as much as he loves Betty, etc. There's no distinction. And the Apostle Paul is very clear about that over in the New Testament. What he says, there's no difference between the Greek, the Jew, mm-hmm, the male, mm-hmm, the female.
Amen.
Everybody is equal and is loved equally by God. And I think this concept, before we go to break here, Betty, is so important about God hears our cries and knows our pain. He does.
Yes, he does. Every time we just speak his name.
Right.
And we've talked about this before on the radio, is that Jesus is for us. If he's for us, who can be against
us? Amen. Amen.
If he was with the children in Egypt and out of out in the desert, he's going to be with us in the city. He's going to be with us whether we're rural, whether we're in the country, whether we're urbanites or whatever. God is with us.
Amen.
And it's so important to understand that concept, because, well, you know, I'm not Pastor Marcia, and I'm not Pastor Jim, or I'm not Nan. You know, I don't have that type of biblical knowledge about me. You know, even if you just became a Christian just 5 minutes ago, God loves you.
Amen.
As much as he does Pastor Marcia,
Amen.
Pastor Jim, and Nan.
Right.
There is no variance there, Pastor Marcia and Nan. There is no variance. He is I am, and he was I am during Moses' time, and he's I am during our time right now on the radio.
Amen. And we're going to talk about that in our second hour and what that means. If you've just joined us for the first time today, this is the radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are a global ministry based out of Clearwater, Florida. We are completing our eighth year. We just had our 400th radio show a couple weeks ago, and that was really exciting. And getting ready to start year number 9 in April. Very, very exciting about this. We are a two-hour show, and we just teach the Word of God. Our slogan for Beacon of Hope is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. And boy, that goes along with today's show, too, where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. We're all about the Word of God. That's what we teach. That's what we believe. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God that came to this earth, died on a cross. He is the risen Lord. He took our sins and our sicknesses in his body on the cross. The Bible says so we might die to sin and live to righteousness. And that's what it's all about. We don't believe that we're perfect in any way, nothing like that. We believe that we have to go through life and learn the principles that God has for us to learn. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, or if you come visit Clearwater, join us on Friday nights. We have a wonderful gathering called the Friday Night Gathering. That's what it's called. It's in Clearwater. We are currently meeting at the Ramada Inn, 3580 Almerton Road. And if you face the hotel, you look to the right on the front, we have a beautiful big room, separate entrance, big nice patio area. And we welcome you to join us on Friday nights beginning at 6:30 and every Friday night. And that's exciting. We also have the other show that we talked about earlier, our new show. It's called Go Yard, which means hit a home run. And it's all about hitting a home run in life. And that airs here in the Tampa market Thursday nights, 6 to 7. That's with me, Mama Mac, my other name, and our counselor and PhD, part of our ministry, Dr. Angel Falzoni, PhD, licensed mental health counselor. So join us on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. We'll talk about the prayer ministry in just a minute, and get ready to write this down if you can. I think it will be a blessing to you. Just a minute, station ID.